This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Baker Mayfield, undraftable, off my board.
The Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield.
Welcome, everybody, to a Victory Monday edition of the OBR Film Breakdown Podcast. It's late. I almost butchered that title right there, but, you know, we got lucky. We got through it. It's 1 a.m. I'm recording this. Usually stay up pretty late covering some different things. I'm going to have something up on the run game tomorrow with the OBR, so hopefully you can find some time to read that. Should be pretty fascinating. This guy... sort of diversity that the Browns are finding in their run game. I am going to thank our presenting sponsor, betonline.ag, your online wagering experts. Make sure you're going there and taking advantage of the welcome bonus using the promo code BLUEWIRE to get in on some football betting right now. Some pretty predictable patterns happening with all of these injuries, so exciting stuff, and hopefully you take advantage and have done so. They've been with us for a while, so go to betonline.ag today. 34-20, Browns win. First thing I will say is do not get caught up in it didn't look pretty at times, all of that stuff, man. Don't worry about it. The Browns are, for the first time in 84 games, over 500, 2-1. You can make excuses for it. You can make caveats about it, but just enjoy the wins when they happen. The only thing I think that stinks the most is that, you know, it's only a season where 6,000 people can be in the stands because there's only been so many home wins since 1999, and two of those have happened now with only 12,000 people being able to witness them. So, you know, like I said, enjoy Browns wins when you can. Could there be things to clean up? Sure, of course. But, you know, you don't get enough of these, and it's good to see them going 2-1 when most thought that that was what the outcome would be here early in the season. So 2-1 heading into an important three-game stretch, one that will define their early season here, coming out of this with you know, maybe a 3-3 or 4-2 record, something like that would be ideal. You cannot lose the next three, obviously. So you know, look to go into Dallas and play your best football and see what happens. But we're going to talk about this game for the here and now. Just a quick stat recap. The Browns go for 300 total yards. Washington goes for 309. Both teams run an equal amount of plays, 62 apiece. Pretty rare, right? 5 yards per play for Washington, 4.8 for Cleveland. Cleveland outrushes Washington, 158 to 103. Washington throws for a few more yards, 206 to 142. But here is the difference in the football game, which I made pretty clear, and everything leading up to this game is that whoever won the turnover margin was going to win this game, and the Browns won it pretty handily, 5-0, and that impacted 24 points on the scoreboard. So 4 touchdowns for Cleveland, a couple field goals. Nice to see Cody Parkey kicking well. That's always a welcome sight. But yeah, overall, great game in terms of taking advantage of opportunities when presented to them in the secondary. Other than Denzel dropping that early interception, and like, look, man, you got to make plays on the football. You have it in your hands. Yeah, you got hit, but of course you're going to get hit. You're pursuing the football in the air. Brace yourself, make the play. I'm sure Denzel would say the same. So looking at stats for this one, Nick Chubb goes 19 for 108, 2 touchdowns. He's just a dynamic runner, man. In terms of just, he's not the flashiest guy in the world, but if you appreciate little nuances about running the football, he's just really fascinating to watch run the football and do so at an effective clip as he goes just into the office, man, and runs 108 yards, like I said, 2 touchdowns, a couple big chunk plays, and really they closed with it in the fourth quarter, running some really fun guard-pulling schemes, some various things in that department that we're going to talk about and break down tomorrow, and hopefully you find some time to read that. Nick I don't know if Nick had a reception on the day. He did. I had one catch for 2 yards, but that's about it. Kareem Hunt goes 16 for 46, so nice balanced carry discrepancy there. 19 and 16, where Kareem makes his difference is in the passing game, where he has a couple catches for 18 yards and a touchdown. Did have that one first drive drop, but, you know, it's not the biggest deal at the end of the world. Hope that may not a big guy's slate, man. Just bear with me. And I thought Kareem was effective. He didn't have any pop runs, but he did have a couple nice chunky. He had an 11-yard run there late in the game on that final drive. Baker Mayfield, 16 of 23, 156, 2 touchdowns. Other than the third quarter lull, I thought he was pretty solid for the day. I mean, they only threw for 156, but, you know, when they jumped out and then they needed a drive to come back, he hit a big third down to Odell on 3rd and 13 or 3rd and 12, something like that, made a throw. But for the most part, Baker was okay, I guess is the best way to put it. Gonna confirm that with the all 22, but, you know, still some things I need to see him clean up, man. And that's, you know, pocket step up, pocket ability to not drop your eyes and panic when things break down from the first read to your second read and the pocket is sort of being pushed into your lap. That is what you need to see him clean up. Still need to see that happen. It's not quite happening yet. He's gonna get the whole season to figure that out. It'll bear itself out over time with Baker's next 2 years, but it is something I just have to see get better, and hopefully that does come. But for now, it's not there, and he almost threw an interception that if Odell doesn't go up and knock it away from Troy Apke, it's another nine. It'd be 9 straight games of interception, but luck falls in his favor. He's due for some of those lucky bounces on interceptions, interceptable throws, I should say, and it works out, man. Look, it is what it is. I tweeted this earlier. I'm not trying to nitpick Baker, but trying to get him to the point where people understand that eventually the Browns want to win because of their first overall pick. Not that you can, you know, you can win with Baker Mayfield, but you want to win because of him. Not with him, but because of him. He's not there yet. Does he get there? Maybe. I don't know. But someday that might come. But for now, I don't know, man. It's tough. He's not quite processing things. And again, moving in through and getting where he goes from read to read with comfort, it's still not quite there for me. Now, they can get him out and play action, and they can scheme up some things for him. They did not run much boot play action in this one. Really not much play action, effective play action in general. Kind of a slow week in that regard. But, you know, Baker probably gets a C- for the game, but he doesn't turn the football over, and that's a big deal when you watched Washington turn it over 5 times. Odell, 4 receptions, 59 yards. Jarvis Landry, 4 receptions, 36 yards, 3 for 25 for Hooper. I said Kareem, 2 for 18. Janovich, 1 for 13. Harrison Bryant catches 1 3-yard catch, but it is his first career touchdown. Shout out to him. And then Nick has 1 for 2. Defensively, Carl Joseph, who I thought played pretty well, has an interception, leads the team in tackles with 6. Taki also had 6. Carl Joseph, one of the few bright spots back there. Not that consistent, but plays hard, he's very physical, and fills a role for them, and has provided some stability when they haven't had a ton of stability. So, Sandejo has 5 tackles, but just an uninspiring type of play for a guy I don't think he was expected to have this big a role, but does have this big a role. And we'll see if they keep that in place. 4 tackles for Myles Garrett, 2 sacks, hell of a game, as usual. Game-changing plays, you know, the key sack with the shirt grab, another strip sack that results in a big moment of the game. Just a great football player. Sheldon Richardson has a sack, and he has 4 tackles, and he's playing fantastic football. You know, alongside Larry Ogunjobi, who also had 4 tackles. Those two inside are playing really well, which is what you needed. You needed those two guys to play really well when you lost Andrew Billings, and Jordan Elliott's doing a decent job when he rotates in, and the same can be said for you know, the entire defensive line in general. I think they're playing pretty good football when they're allowed to get after the quarterback. There's some lulls here and there. They get accustomed to the football being out so quick. I think sometimes they don't always pin their ears back and go after like they should. But for the most part, up front, playing pretty well. Kevin Johnson has 3 tackles. MJ Stewart has 3 tackles. Got to watch a film on a lot of these guys to see and confirm some things. Terrence Mitchell and Denzel Ward. I did not feel like those two were very sharp this game. Probably their worst game of the 3 so far. Didn't make any plays on the football that I was particularly all too fond of. And obviously Ward missed that interception, and Mitchell gave up a touchdown on sort of a little corner post. there in the third quarter when Cleveland fell behind. We'll take a look at those guys later in the week. But, you know, what the defense did well is, like I said, three interceptions. You got Malcolm Smith making a key interception before half of the Browns capitalizing, get a touchdown. B.J. Goodson makes an interception as well in the second half. Is they were able to make turnovers happen. If you can make turnovers happen, you can sort of swallow giving up 300-plus yards because you can get the football back to your offense enough. And that was where it was key that they made those plays in Washington territory. And then obviously the return by Carl Joseph. And those are the things that swing a game. You know, the Browns aren't electric on offense right now. They might get there at some point. But right now the defense needs to help them, get them off the field a little bit. They're still being very vanilla, and this goes for both sides. I want to talk about this. We talk about it with our guest, John Colosimo, later, but they're being very vanilla. I still think they're keeping a lot of things subdued. Maybe this is because guys aren't ready to handle it yet. Blitz packages, simulated fronts on defense, some of those different varying coverage types. I'm not seeing it right now. They could get to it, but I'm not seeing it right now. So that infects things, and they're being very predictable and kind of just hoping that they can put a finger over all the holes in the wall and just sort of plug things and get enough stops and create some turnovers. And that's kind of what happened today. Offensively, I didn't think they sequenced things as well as I wanted to see. I kind of thought Stefanski ran into a weird route of play calling in the third quarter where they were throwing early, but throws that Mayfield's not particularly all too strong with and caused them to fall behind the sticks, and then they were predictably running on second down, and I just didn't love it. And they had to get out of that funk, and they got out of that funk when they finally went on a long touchdown drive to regain the lead and then closed it the way they were supposed to close it. I do like the schemes they're using run game-wise, but I just didn't love their approach to how he sequenced run-pass deception. Not the best thing. But again, I think they're being very vanilla. Not a lot of tight end screens, not a lot of pushing the football downfield on creative boots in terms of this game and really game one. And you got a taste of it a little bit in game two, but I even didn't think in game two with Cincinnati they were that creative. A little bit, but I think there's a lot of tricks in the bag still there for Stefanski. I'm sure if you had some truth serum in him behind closed doors, he'd probably admit there's quite a bit to go to. And it's a long season, so you don't want to give everything away. Standouts for Washington, Antonio Gibson, I think, is going to be really good. 9 carries, 49 yards, a touchdown. I think he's going to be good over time. Haskins, I don't know, man. I don't know if it's going to work out for him. The way he doesn't transfer weight when he throws, he flicks it, doesn't see the field very well. Three interceptions, though, and all three of them were bad, locked on staring at people or just an inaccurate throw. Especially on that one over the middle when they were driving again when Carl Joseph picks that football off. I don't know. Just not all too impressed with Dwayne Haskins. I wasn't before the draft. I remain uninspired about him. Didn't really understand all of the hype. And, you know, but I pull for him. He's an Ohio State kid. I hope it works out. They're not giving him the best skill talent. Other than Terry McLaurin, who had four catches for 83 yards. Nacho Emin did have two touchdowns, 38 yards. And he's okay. Logan Thomas is fine. Four catches for 31. McKissick, the other running back, 37 yards, three catches. They're just okay. They just don't have any, you know, pop-out, standout talent on offense, and I think that they're going to need some of that because I don't know what they're doing on that side of the football early, and I don't think they know because they kind of folded the game before it was over. They just kind of gave up. Defensive line, and ridiculously talented. Dayron Payne and Jonathan Allen are all over the field. I mean, Jonathan Allen had 9 tackles for a defensive lineman, defensive interior lineman with a sack. Sweat had a sack. You know, he played really well off the edge. They did lose Chase Young early, which is unfortunate because he's a lot of fun to watch, which that kind of stunk. But I think they also lost Matt Ioannidis too. So they suffered some injuries that kind of held them up a little bit, but they're very talented defensively. They'll be fine. They can stop people, but they can't handle their team giving up, their offense giving up 5 turnovers in any given football game, especially with that offense. They have to, like week one when they beat Philadelphia, they have to be the one creating turnovers and giving their offense short fields. So it was good to see that. So, you know, that's kind of the recap. I thought Cleveland started out pretty decently. I thought they were trying to avoid big mistakes, took advantage of the mistakes Washington made, which is what you want to see. Like I said, I thought that they had a very vanilla game plan. I think they're going to try to throw some things at Dallas that are unexpected. Offensively, I think they thought they could kind of be vanilla on both sides and get through this game. It panned out that way, that Washington played right into Cleveland's hands, turned the football over a little bit. And, you know, that plays into what Cleveland wanted. And it worked out, and it put them in a good position to win the game when they were able to capitalize. But I am really looking forward to both sides of the football throwing some more things, creative things, creative blitzes, creative coverages, offense, more boot schemes, more screen game. They have not been effective in the screen game at all yet, and they really were with Minnesota last year, so I'm hoping to see some of that. But shout out to the offensive line, shout out to the two guards who are playing fantastic football. I thought Jed Will struggled a little bit, have to confirm it. Probably his worst game of the three so far. Jack Conklin seemed fine, but I thought Joel Bitonio and Wyatt Teller continue to be so good, man, and they're pulling those guys and moving them and doing a lot with them. And they're responding so well, and both are playing really good football. I did not think the tight ends blocked all too well this week. We'll watch the tape and figure that out, but we'll do a quick recap. So we do these kind of immediate reaction, and then we'll do an all-22 recap later in the week where we also preview Dallas as well. But I like to get some immediate thoughts out there to you guys about this game, about the feeling around it. Enjoy it. Have fun with it. I think that's important to do and you know, you can be negative about this stuff, but at the end of the day, I think the Browns were pretty basic in their approach, and in that basic approach, they were able to get through this game without giving away too many creative things that they can do next week, while also refining what they're good at, and they're a running football team who can throw it when they need to and be creative off of that run game. And defensively, you know, they're going to be a team that has bend but don't break all year, get teams into long throwing situations and allow their defensive line to get back to the backfield and make plays, Myles Garrett and the group, and they are doing okay with that over the last 2 weeks. Not going to be a winning formula every week, but some weeks will be better than others, and this was an enjoyable one to watch. Before we get to our guest, I am going to talk to you about two intro advertisers that we really are excited to have with us here at Blue Wire. That's obviously Pepsi. You've heard me talk about them a little bit. It's a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents. Fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for your game day, no matter how you watch. Pepsi's a refreshment you need to power through any game, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for watching football. We appreciate Pepsi and DoorDash as well. Make sure that you guys do know that DoorDash has some great offers going on right now. You still need to order food out, but maybe you don't want to go sit in the restaurant. DoorDash is the app that brings the food you're craving right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside the door with a new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, the Cheesecake Factory, Wink, and so many more. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. You need to support them. They need to make their money. Go ahead and use DoorDash. Right now, listeners can get a $5 off offer if they go and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code BLUEWIRE, all one word. That's $5 off your zero delivery fee and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter that promo code BLUEWIRE. Again, don't forget the promo code. That's BLUEWIRE. $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Now, we're going to get over and talk. I think it's important to hear someone else's perspective, too. Former host of this show with me way back when, John Colosimo, does a great job on his Nothing But The Dogs podcast. He's fantastic. Good friend of mine. Swap stories about our sons that are growing up around the same age. Good dude, good Browns analyst as well. So we're going to have him on. So let's get over to that interview with John right now. John, we're doing a new segment, man, rapid-fire questions. We're going to bring on a guest every Sunday for this reaction pod. You're the first one, as it should be, rightfully so. we've been talking for a couple weeks here about having you come on and chat, and we've got 3 weeks of evidence now, finally. We didn't get any preseason, so we don't have any evidence of what we're going to be looking at and, you know, what the structure of this whole thing might be. So now we're, like I said, we're 3 weeks in. I'm kind of interested specifically today with what you thought about the offense in terms of struggled for a good portion of the game, fourth quarter, closed the door when they needed to, and took care of business. But generally speaking, kind of struggled for most of the day. Where are you at with them today? What did you think of Mayfield's performance and kind of the collective group around him?
All right, so here's how I would say it. I think this is probably going to be collectively for the offense our worst graded day all across the board. Whereas I think in week one, I think everything worked except for Baker. And I think in week two, everything was on point. And this is going to be somewhere in between there. But I think overall, I think in terms of the entire offense, we're probably going to have our worst graded days across the board. The things that I would say is that, you know, I think Baker started off rougher than he ended. I think he settled down a little bit. I think maybe there were some mechanics issues that were a little funky as we started this game. I think he was sailing on a couple of things. Just wasn't quite where he wanted to be. But I will say this, you know, from a positive note, this is something that, you know, I was talking to Josh about that didn't make the on time or on record portion of our show, is that on a good note, and I think this is good to point out, is that a lot of times Baker, I think over these last 2 years, for better or for worse, you kind of knew what you're going to get pretty early on. I don't think you saw too much of a change. You know, he'd be a hot hand or he'd be cold or whatever the case. And I think you're getting a little bit of, you know, some mixed things here now, which on one hand you'd say, well, that's not great. But on the other hand, he didn't start great today. And I think he did settle down and do some good things as the game wore on. So, you know, as I was saying to Josh earlier today, we're not dropping dongs on the sidelines right now. But I think what you're getting that is a good thing is a little bit of the head coach's personality shining through, where we're able to kind of stay a little more even keel and we can take a punch and have a counter punch where things aren't, you know, perfect. We're learning a new system, all that kind of stuff. But this is 2 weeks in a row where I think this team has taken a punch from a team and come back pretty well. So, you know, while it's not where we want to be, I think that there are some good things to take away in that regard.
Yeah, I think there's still several elements of this offense. As far as what I watched last year in Minnesota, I really think there are elements of this offense that haven't even been unlocked yet. And I would go so far as to say, and I know I touched on this earlier, but I would go so far as to say that they are being pretty vanilla right now. Like, I haven't seen a ton of intricate boot screens. I haven't seen a ton of intricate tight end screens. I haven't seen a ton of intricate throwbacks off of boot, like design throwbacks off of the boot. And today, you know, there was the throw that everyone wanted to, why didn't he throw it to Natson on the wheel? Well, that's got to be tagged, man. Like, that's got to be called in the huddle. You can't just roll your quarterback the opposite direction and expect him to throw that unless you tag it to throw it, like it to draw his attention. So you can't throw that. I mean, that's just like backyard football people claiming for that. So it's like, you know, I just, my general vibe is that they have found some run schemes that they're very good at. They like them. They haven't even really unlocked wide zone a ton. They've run it some, but not a ton. I'm going to look at the data from Sports Info Solutions, but I don't think they've run a ton of wide zone in terms of what I was expecting them to run. Running a lot of power, a lot of counter, a lot of G schemes. And like I said, I think there's a lot of stuff left in the bag for them to unveil and really shoot tendencies for a loop. So they have to get better at refining their quick passing game. Don't think there's any doubt about that. They're not quite as effective as I would like them to be throwing on first and 10 from the gun. And I think that put them behind the eight ball in the third quarter, which was a miserable offensive quarter. They put themselves behind the gun, right? Like, they can't, if you're going to do that, you have to Baker in your mind, man, like, know that if I can't throw one and I can't get to two, I have to make sure that we're going into the second and 10 and not second and 17 or second and 20 when you throw a, you know, an intentional grounding or take a bad sack or whatever. That's got to be, speed that stuff up. And some of that stuff happens in the preseason, and, you know, but he's got to be smarter there. And I think that's going to be a heavy coaching point. For the most part, I'm with you, though. Offensively, could have been worse. I was really pleased with how they closed the game. That's two, you know, you talk about that, John, that's two games in a row where they've closed strong. You want to be able to see your team take the will of the opposing defense and close them in a fashion that puts the foot on the neck, right? And you're out the door with a win. And I like them too. You know, obviously the defense created several turnovers, but capitalizing on those turnovers and not kicking field goals, that's important. You have to, in the NFL, get points, touchdowns off of, you know, big swing momentum plays. So those were very big. So we'll shift to defense, man, because I just talked about these turnovers. Obviously, and this, I'm going to say the same thing, man, before I dish you the question, which is, I think they're being really vanilla on this side, too. They're not using any kind of intricate blitz schemes at all. Like, I'm not watching them, and they're like, ooh, man, that was a really fun fire zone they just threw at him, right? Like, they were so vanilla with Haskins today, and I do think that they said, hey, we can get through the first 3 weeks, 2-1, 3-0, being very plain. And then from there, we can try to break tendencies as we go. So I think there's a little bit of that going on. I'm hoping, where are you at with the defense in general?
Yeah, I'm hoping that that's the case too. And I agree with you 100%. They have been super, super vanilla. I mean, they haven't even really been stunting much or even like things as simple as that. And they've been in a tough spot. You know, we've had a lot of starters out, and that's out of a group that, you know, at least for sure in the back seven, that's just, there's not a lot of beef there to begin with. Once you lose a Grant Delpit, you know, once you get past a Denzel Ward. So I'm waiting and seeing as far as what we got there. Now, I am a proponent of, you know, the idea of trying to make a little bit of a splash and maybe bringing in an Earl Thomas. But I'm also, I think after 3 weeks and after having this 10 days, I think I'm resigned to the fact that we're going to have what we're going to have this year, and there's not going to be any kind of saviors coming in. So I'm looking for Joe Wood to show, you know, to show me something, and we just haven't seen it yet. And but to be honest, you know, looking at a Dallas coming in here, you know, that is a potent offense that's going to be tough. Like, on one hand, it's not going to be a Redskins offense where they're getting rid of the ball in 2 seconds every time, or, you know, so our defensive line, which is our strength, may have a little more time to work. But, you know, right now, this back seven looks pretty rough, you know, and I'm not entirely sure why Harrison hasn't gotten a little more play. I'm not sure while we watched, I know we had some splash plays, but all in all, I'm still very not impressed with our linebackers. I'm not entirely sure why we didn't see a little bit of Mac in here if he's active. What do you have him active for? So I think he's got his work cut out for him. In terms of making something happen here, and I'm hoping that we see a little something different, but I think realistically, this is going to be something that we're going to be fighting against for the whole year. And there's going to be some rough tests. And I think this might just be, you know, especially with the Delpit injury to start this thing off, I think it was kind of critical. I think that was like a pretty, you know, pretty big blow for us. So it might be a little bit of a rough year where we don't have the answers that we need, and we're just going to have to try and do the best with what we've got.
I think that's a great point, John, which is that there is no, we're getting all these guys back from injury. Well, okay, cool, nice. I don't see Greedy Williams as an upgrade over Terrence Mitchell, so what are you going to move Greedy inside? Greedy's never been an inside guy. You're going to move Denzel inside? I mean, you know, there can be some benefit to that if you're facing somebody who has a ridiculously talented slot and a ton of 11 personnel, but I don't want Denzel playing inside all the time. Okay, so then you look at who else do they have to come back. I mean, Olivier's pretty solid, but there's not a big drop off to Adrian Claiborne in any form or fashion, and Porter Gustin's playing well. It just adds depth. It's just adding depth. It's like, you know, is Mac Wilson an upgrade? I don't think so. I mean, he's okay. There is no reinforcement coming, and even if Grant Delpit was healthy, it does help relieve the burden of what Anderson Dejo's putting on tape, but it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know what they're going to, they have to start getting creative. They're just allowing teams, and that's okay. Like I said, they said going into this game, listen, I watched these two Washington games, and I'm sorry, man, they were terrible. Like, I could just, Wentz handed them some terrible interceptions and could not hit a throw when it mattered. And they scored a couple cheap touchdowns and beat Philly, who we obviously see that Philly's not very good in any way. So I watched it. I'm like, all Arizona did, because the only way they scored on Washington was short fields. All Arizona did was man them up and dare Dwayne Haskins to beat man coverage. Couldn't do it. They just can't do it. And I thought Cleveland obviously has a much better defensive front. So I was like kind of eager, like walk down in their face and burn them. And you saw what happened when Cleveland tries to do that. That's what Arizona has, is a really athletic second level of their defense in terms of Isaiah Simmons and I didn't think I was going to have to think of Arizona's players off the top of my head. Linebacker types, help me out, really fast. I sound like an idiot right now. Hassan Reddick. I think it's Hassan Reddick. They have a couple other guys in their second level that run really well and they can cover. And B.J. Goodson, in the right place a lot of times, but just cannot stop his body momentum and break down and make a tackle. Sione Takitaki just does not have a very great feel for it, and in space can get burnt far too easily. So it's like, I think it obviously works, because eventually Haskins has to drive the football downfield, and you dare them to do it enough, and he just made mistakes, and that's fine. But like Dak, that's not going to happen. You know, they play Indy, and Rivers will burn them when given opportunities to burn them. And I know Phil isn't the old Phil, but he's going to have opportunities to burn them. And then it's like, then you're facing Roethlisberger, who's not what he used to be, obviously, but he's cerebral as far as being able to see what you're throwing at him. And they have really, really good wide receiver skill talent. They're gonna be a problem. Eric Ebron's a problem. So these next 3 weeks, and again, I'm hoping, man, like I'm really hoping, I don't know, Ronnie Harrison, can you get Kevin? I got to look at the snaps. Like, how much did MJ Stewart play? How much did Kevin Johnson play? I saw them on the field. It's so hard to track defensive snaps in live games, man. Like, there's just so much going on so fast. So that's going to be like an all 22 rewatch. But I just need to figure out how they're going to do some things. Like, is Harrison going to see an uptick? Is Kevin Johnson going to help? If Greedy comes back, where is Greedy playing? What are they doing? Because they got to find a way to keep Terrence Mitchell on the field. So they got to get creative, man. I don't know. And I'm, again, this is just me, fingers crossed, but I'm hoping that Joe Woods is able to sort of change, tweak, throw some things at Dallas they haven't seen before. Because that group, between Zeke, those three wide receivers, Gallup, CD, and Amari, that's as good as it gets in the NFL. And Dak is playing really good football, man. So, like,
I'll say this, too. Like, you know, part of the thing watching today was, you know, I was wondering why they were giving these guys, especially on a short field type offense that they run, why they were getting so much space. But then those rub routes were working beautifully. You know, the only thing they had was McLaurin, and somehow like he got free. And I knew every time he got free, I'm like, that's got to be a rub route. And then they, you know, they show the replay, and sure enough, that's what it is. Well, we got to be better than that. You know, even in the simplistic terms, we got to be better at handling that kind of stuff.
It's going to be interesting, because I was really hoping Dallas would win that game so they would sleepwalk through Cleveland coming in there, but they need this win now. They can't go to 1-3, and they know that, and they're going to be hungry. They're not very good defensively. You can obviously beat them consistently with precision play action, and you can certainly run the football on them. So it could, if Cleveland wins it might get high scoring. Dallas is never out of a game. Their quick strike ability with these three receivers, and Cedric Wilson had a ridiculous game. So they go four deep at the position. I think Blake Irwin is hurt. I think they're a little beat up at tight end, but it doesn't matter, man. And they find ways to get Zeke in space, and we all know how dangerous he is. So I don't know, man. Early look at them. How do you feel about it? Are you uneasy, or do you feel pretty good going into that one?
No, I'm uneasy because, generally speaking, it's not that I don't think we're going to be able to move the ball around. But this isn't really, in my opinion, at least at this stage in the game, this is not an offense built at this specific point in time for a shootout, in my opinion. So whether or not we can use it to control the ball, maybe that's a route that they go. But, you know, specifically speaking, no, the way this defense is playing, no, I don't feel good about this matchup. And it's a way where, you know, we're in Dallas. So I don't love how I feel coming into this game, personally.
No, I don't either. But they, you know, this is the thing. You get a little confidence going in some of these guys, and Dallas's defense isn't very good, and you know things bounce weird sometimes, and Dallas could also be feeling a lot of pressure, like we have to get this game, and that can lead to some poor decisions here and there. And they're still beat up front. I think Zach Martin played from center to right tackle. I think they're moving people around. They're trying to figure it out up front. They're overcoming it because they're able to get their good guys in space and let them kind of ball out. But
I do feel good about that matchup. You know, this is not your, you know, last year's or the year before's Dallas Cowboys offensive line. Yeah. You know, and like I said before, it's not going to be your 2-second offense. So our defensive line, the way they're playing, should have some time to work and probably can make some plays. And that would be maybe where I look for a game-changing play or two, which in a shootout, maybe that's all you need.
I'm with you, man. I think this will tell us the coaching staff. This is a game where you want your coaching staff to rise to the occasion, have a really, really good defensive game plan, and have some ways to really particularly dissect Dallas's defense, which is vulnerable in several key areas. So this should be fun. And again, I do think this game will tell us quite a bit about where this coaching staff is schematically and with personnel and all of that. And they know they got to get at least one. Maybe they would love to get two of these next three, so don't get ahead of ourselves. But they're looking at these next three are pretty challenging. So they gotta figure out some ways to think outside the box. And I know I have faith that they'll come up with some interesting stuff. So John, buddy, my friend, thanks for coming on. This is fun.
Yeah, thanks, Jake. I always have a good time talking to you.
All right, huge shout out to John. Thanks for joining us and giving insights late at night, like I do. I'm weird, stay up late. And again, enjoy this win, guys. Enjoy this win because we don't get enough of them, and maybe there'll be a ton more this year. I don't know. Maybe this is a new trend. I do like this coaching staff a lot, and I think they're going in the right direction in the front office too. But enjoy the here and now. Take advantage of this good feeling. Big game with Dallas coming next week. We'll talk all about them here in the coming week. Should be fun. We appreciate you always listening. Could you drop a 5-star review for us? We'd really appreciate that. Leaving a nice write-up review would be awesome as well. The OBR Film Breakdown does a ton of work. Check out our YouTube channel, which is up and rocking. We have one film up every week. Going to break something down important. We did Baker Mayfield week one. We did play action boot schemes week two. Who knows what we'll do week three. Make sure you're following that. Join us at the OBR. Always love that. Great deal going on. 60% off offer right now. And make sure you're checking out the regular Orange and Brown report that we come out with, and Jared Mueller's hosting. He's doing a fantastic job with that. I'll join him after we study all 22. So again, more to come later. We'll talk later in the week as we talk about Dallas, some all 22 recaps. Hope you guys have a great Monday and a great beginning of your week. Until next time, go Browns.